Today's reading is from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home. Tad will now come and bless us with his interpretation of the words. May we receive what he has to tell us.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you read that passage, because that's the one I'm preaching on. Before that, Sarah's got some news, so Sarah's going to come up. Now, Sarah lives at home with me, and how old are you, Sarah?
38.
38, yeah. But she doesn't want to live at home anymore. So where are you going to go and live just after Christmas?
In Warwick Mews.
And Warwick Mews is a supported living care home. Care home. It's a supported living complex, really. And who are you going to be living with?
I'm going to be sharing care.
Yeah, and are they your friends?
Yes.
Yeah, and do they go to Lifestyle, your day group?
Yes. Yeah.
So Sarah will be living in a place with friends and going to the same day set. I'm going to miss her.
Yes.
But I'm so pleased. And I thank you for praying, and I know Julie did, because Julie's been praying for months for this. She's signed, thank you for it all. Yep, I'll miss her.
When does that start, Tad? When does she go?
Well, she hasn't signed the tenancy agreement yet, because right. The social worker and the housing officer are all sick. Then she has to apply for housing benefit, and then that'll take us, I'll probably be dead by then, but I'm only joking, Sarah. And then they give you a date, and then we can, the easy bit is putting all the stuff in. You know. No, but she'll be very well looked after with all her friends, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Definitely
a good
thing. Where is it? It's in Macclesfield, yeah, which is where her day service is. In fact, nothing happens in Poynton for special needs. Nothing happens here. No, she knows, Sarah knows Macclesfield very well, doesn't it? Poynton very well at all. I was wondering where this was, but it's in my pocket. Right. This is a well-known story, isn't it? For us. A lot of people don't know this story at all. It's not taught in schools as often, is it? Sunday schools are almost a thing of the past. And so, yeah, this passage, we think, you know, I was hearing this when I was 4 and 5. I don't know about you guys, you know what I mean? We think this is like the bedrock of our faith, and it is. But it's a story that's not told, and every year at Christmas it seems to have less of Christ in Christmas every year. You know. Anyway, I'd just like to say, because I'm going on to Mary's song, is that I was brought up in a Catholic home. My father was Polish, my mum was Irish. I had no choice, really. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I'm just saying I didn't have a choice. I was brought up as a Catholic. And I just accepted it as what happened, you know what I mean? And I believed in God, I believed that Jesus was God. The older I got, I became a Christian when I was 29, the older I got, the less sense it seemed to make, though. Especially as some of my friends were, they didn't pray to God or Jesus, they only prayed to Mary. They do, you know. And I was chatting to these guys and they said, no, you know, it's like there wasn't any access. You prayed to Mary and she would pass on your prayers to Jesus. And I thought, well, this is unusual, but I accepted it. And so I completely admit that I think I threw Mary away. Yeah, I thought, well, yeah, she's the mother of God the man, not mother of God the God, you know what I mean? But reading this, it brought me back a lot to just realising what an amazing woman she is. So given that it's the first week in Advent, which you do know, don't you? I thought we'd start with Mary's song. Now, he gives an amazing gift to Mary, doesn't he? But really he's given it to us all. I don't know about you, but if your daughter came back and said, Mum, I think you should sit down, I've got something to tell you, you're not going to believe it. And she told you this story, you wouldn't believe it, would you? You'd be thinking, think of something else, darling, you know. You wouldn't believe it. And I also can't help thinking of the difference in the genders here. I mean, if the angel Gabriel was the angel Gabriella, I think she'd have told everybody in the village. Yeah? Would have been the nicest thing to do, wouldn't it? Not just tell her and then clear off. And when the difference between the names here, when Zechariah was told about the birth of going to be John the Baptist, remember? He didn't believe, he doubted, and he was struck dumb. When the angel told a woman, Mary, she sang. I'll leave it there, shall I, before I start fights? Yeah, big difference, really. And he didn't just choose Mary for the birth, he chose her for the whole bringing up, didn't he? He was 30 when he left, which is actually quite old to still be living at home. But because she trusted God completely, she didn't remember. Well read. It says, he gives this news that's scarcely credible. He says, may it be to me as you just said. straight away she did it. Why was this? Now she receives expectantly. Now, she doesn't get into a debate with the angel, does she? Are you sure? How do you know? Where did you just come from? Well, it wasn't asking for second or third opinions. Now she knew if she said yes to this, there's going to be costs, aren't there? Yeah. Now, if you look in at the commentators, they say the youngest she'd probably be was about 12 or 13, and the oldest would be about 16. So let's just call her 16. Now he didn't tell the whole village, he didn't tell Mary's family, just Mary, so it's going to be a sacrifice, so she could be condemned. I mean, she wouldn't have been looked upon very favourably, would she? There'd be shame there, embarrassment there, but she doesn't question it at all. She knows. And am I the only one that thinks, how on earth did this young girl know? But she sees that God's about to change the whole of human history, and she's going to be a key part in it. Now, we need to look at the history of this, because the nation of Israel that she was living in was at its lowest ebb. She was believing promises in the Bible, but it was 500 years since Israel was an independent nation. 500 years since there was a king of the Jews. It's a long time, isn't it? You'd think whole generations of people would have grown up thinking, well, that was then. This is now. And the oppressors, the Romans, were there. But do you remember in the reading? She was of the tribe of David. So she believed him because she knew God's promises. She didn't just know God's promises, she believed in them. And she, with all the others, were waiting for its fulfillment. It's a long time, generation after generation after generation, waiting for this fulfillment. And how do we know this? Because she concludes the song by saying, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to her father. So she knows she's in that right family and lineage. And she's referring to the covenant he made with Abraham, blessing them, and their numbers will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the ground. And so she knew he had a plan for the redemption of his people. And when the angel says, God is doing this through you, she links the purposes of God, revealed to herself by the angel, to the ancient purposes of God, which have been promised in his covenant to Abraham. This is a young girl, don't forget. We don't know if she could read. She probably could. But in those days, you learn things by hearing it and repeating it. Yes, you know this. She received scripturally. Now you'll be very pleased to know that you'll have lunch today. I won't be going through every single reference here. But if you do read this song, which isn't particularly long, you'll see she alludes to lots of psalms which she must have known. She uses phrases from 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Isaiah and Job. And if you look at Hannah's song, yeah, it's remarkable how close it is. So she knew the word of God, she believed it. She was living expectancy, as had her forefathers before her, for hundreds of years, waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. So when Gabriel said this, things happened in her brain, didn't they? Ah, yes. She links all these promises. And the reason why she received scripturally is because she learnt the word of God. There's no other way, is there? She didn't go and... Gabriel's saying she wasn't Googling it all, was she? Wasn't getting out reference books. She wasn't doing any of that. She knew. And you know how you get to another word of God? There's no shortcut, is there? You have to read it. And ideally remember it. She must have been encouraged to memorise scripture. So that when she needs to find the right words, nobody was telling her to sing, by the way. She was singing out of joy. So she was able to put this together because she went to the scriptures she knew, and she prayed and sang and thanked God for all this amazing thing. Because she says in verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. With God, nothing is impossible. The other thing is she receives humbly, doesn't she? Now, I don't know about you, but if God had chosen me to do something huge in the world, I think I might bask in the glory for a little while, yeah? I'm that impure, I'd probably tell my mates. I would. However surprised I was, I'd be quite keen that other people knew about it. But she wasn't like that. She's going to be the Messiah bearer. She knows it. Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, what's the first thing she does? She acknowledges herself as a sinner. She was the first disciple, wasn't she? She's saying, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Not, my spirit rejoices in the God who's chosen me. It's a Saviour. She knew, like, the beginning of all wisdom is knowing how much you need God, isn't it? My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Mary needed a Saviour first. She accepted that completely. Mary acknowledges her lowly origin. She is humble, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. It's really a bond slave. You know, it's that much of a servant. And interestingly, so is Elizabeth, isn't it? These are two great women, aren't they? Humble, lowly, both surprisingly going to be having children. And both of them react well together and engage well together. But they both acknowledge that they are receivers of good, gracious gifts, really. So the first person to benefit from all of this is Mary herself. She calls herself a willing permanent servant of the Lord. She has had every temptation in that moment to bask in glory and pride, and yet her humility shows through all the time. She's saying, if God says this, I'll do it. And that's the beginning of all obedience, isn't it? And the core of all humility, really. And she also receives thankfully, doesn't she? In fact, this song, if you look at it again later, she's thanking all the time. My soul exalts the Lord, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. Every generation will call me blessed. His mercy is upon generation after generation. He has done mighty deeds with his arms. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. She knows all of this is a part of the blessing she's receiving. I don't know when she was actually pregnant. You know, it doesn't say that. But she knew she was going to be pregnant. She knew she had never slept with a man, of course. But her predicament would have been awkward, wouldn't it? I mean, sorry, when I was a lad, if this happened, the woman often would go somewhere, yeah? And have the baby, you know, in the seaside or somewhere and come back and, you know, things in our generation, it was considered shameful, wasn't it? I mean, let's be clear about that. What was it like then in that society? I bet a lot of people in the village didn't believe it was a supernatural happening, frankly. And her focus is not on herself at all, is it? She mentions three times the joy is that God loves to undertake for the underdog who calls on his mercy. Verse 50, he has mercy on those who fear him. 52, he has exalted those who are humble. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. And that's one side of God's holiness. The other is that Mary mentions three times that he opposes the proud, the haughty, and those who ignore him. 51, he has scattered those who are proud. 52, he has brought down the rulers from their thrones. 53, the rich he has sent away empty. If we didn't know the gospel, we'd probably be locked up as terrorists. It's that revolution, isn't it? It's that mad, really. It's upside down. And Jesus came with a message for those who thought they were outside of possible salvation, isn't it? You know, the tax collector, the sinner, the Samaritan, the prostitute, the leper, the women and the children. He hung around with a bad crowd, didn't he? So a lowly, unimportant woman from Nazareth as the mother of God. Doesn't make any sense, does it? But it does in the wisdom of God. I think there's hundreds of things we can learn from this, really. I think that first thing I noticed is that she models discipleship for us, I think. She really does. You want to know what to do? You do what Mary did. How we respond to God without the debates, without the questioning. Yeah. She receives deeply, and it's receives deeply because of her knowledge of the Word of God. But it's very radical, this. It's about Mary saying yes to God, but a God who is going to turn things upside down. And can I say, white British people of our age are very conservative. I'm not accusing anybody of anything here. We don't like things to change. We like the status quo. We don't like to rock the boat. The older we get, the less we want to do any of these things. But this gospel is actually very radical. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, said, lots of Christians have read this for thousands of years to the point where we've forgotten it's a revolutionary terror. It takes the standards of the world and turns them upside down. It does, doesn't it? If you explain grace to people, it doesn't make sense, does it? I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what I don't deserve. That's grace. And yet, if you don't mind saying so, a lot of people just would never get this. You know, I've never been to a funeral where somebody hasn't said, I'm sure he or she is looking down on us now. Can I be blunt like that? It's like everybody goes to heaven. They don't. Martin Luther said, if you want to go really far back, Mary's song should comfort the lonely but terrify the rich. So she was a nobody, wasn't she? Who did something extraordinary, and she reminds us that all of us are nobodies, but we can tell everybody so that somebody can save anybody. Shall I say that again? Because I think I got confused in the middle of that. Mary's a nobody, but she did something extraordinary to remind us that all of us are really nobodies, but we can tell everybody so that somebody can save anybody. And she started with Mary, wasn't it? With his disciples. Remember, last time I was here, well, I remember last time I was here, and I preached on the woman at the well, yeah? The first evangelist ran down the little hill, yeah? Told everybody in the village that he came up and saw him and come back, yeah? So women play a key role here. Elizabeth does, Mary does. Woman at the well, I wish I knew her name. A bit late now to find out, but you know. And so I think I've certainly learnt a lot from Mary. Not to the point where I think I have to pray to Mary to get through to God. Not that stuff, you know. I reject all that stuff. But I understand now why people see Mary as, that I can engage and identify with her, you know, and see that she brings a lot to our faith, really. And how many people would react that quickly, that clearly, with so little information? Would you? It'd be awkward, wouldn't it? I don't think I would. Sounds like stupidly blind faith. And yes, that's what it looks like on paper, really. I'll just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your whole gospel. I thank you for Mary. What an example she still is to all of us about knowing the word, knowing your character, knowing your promises, believing your promises, awaiting patiently, not doubting when things don't go right for hundreds of years. Thank you for the way she didn't debate or argue or check with somebody else. Thank you that she accepted you and your promises. Thank you that she was joyful, wanted to share it with Elizabeth. And thank you that she just said openly, be it done to me as you have said. And thank you that her song is actually full of quite revolutionary things where social orders and economic orders can be turned upside down if we actually do believe what you, Lord, say. You know, the rich will be poor, the poor will inherit the earth, the humble will be exalted, thrones will come down. And as we were praying earlier about the world and how power and control seems to cause so many things of wars and distress, Lord, we say to you right now that we're thankful for a God who's not into control, he's not into power, he's into grace and using people just like us for his glory and honour, and to be the your mouthpiece on this earth. So we thank you for Mary's example here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.